Hi, this is Keith Wooden, and welcome to Story Mosaics. You know, every once in a while, it's good just to reflect for a moment and maybe use it as a touchstone to where we've come from. Now that we've been recording for just over a half year, we're starting to get the recognition from some of the other outlets and some inquiries as to what is the essence of Story Mosaics. And I come back to a very, very simple statement, that is that everyone has a story. And can I just tell you that that means you? I believe that every one of us has a story that really needs to be told. And some of you are a little hesitant. Some of you are afraid that maybe your story doesn't measure up, or in some way doesn't allow people to really experience what you experience through your story. But can I tell you that everyone's story has significance? And we just want to help you tell your story better. And that's why we've created this platform for Story Mosaics. We use it as a chance for every once in a while for me to tell one of my stories from my past. And maybe it's been published, or maybe it's just one that's relatively new. Or maybe it's a story from a seasoned storyteller. We've had several of those on, and they never cease to amaze me with their skills and their abilities to tell a moving story. But then we also reserve those moments where we come alongside of an individual or a couple of individuals to help them tell their story as well. We'll coach you, we'll help you kind of create the format that is compelling for you to tell your story. And then, well, we release you on to the podcast. And here's the nice thing is I always create an interview format for those who are telling their story. It's like a safety net. You cannot fail. If things start to go wonky for you while you're telling your story, well, I'm always there to support you, to catch you, and even just re-release you into your story. We've seen some powerful stories born just in that way. So thanks for joining us each time we come on Story Mosaics, and thanks for making it part of your week's listening. You know, also, I've got some exciting things coming up. If you're on my personal Facebook, I ask a question. We're going to be having an individual who is a resident of Israel come on and present his story. He is a former individual who grew up in Russia for a period of time and then moved to Israel. He's a Jew in the nation of Israel now, and he has some amazing stories. I've experienced so many opportunities to hear those stories on a firsthand basis. Well, I ask our listeners and also those who are on my Facebook just to ask the question that's on your mind about the nation of Israel. Maybe it's about the things that are to come, or maybe it's about what they're experiencing now. One of the questions that's been raised in my heart and mind is why the growth of anti-Semitism in our world today? Did you recognize that anti-Semitism in the United States is up 140% year to year from 23 to 24? And of course, we don't have the stats for 25 yet. 140%. And it makes me wonder what's going on and what is his experience in Israel with the anti-Semitism movement that's taking place almost worldwide. Of course, I tie that pretty directly to what's happening in Scripture as well, as we see the fulfillment of Scripture is taking place, and we're amazed at how Israel plays its part in the coming days. Well, there's lots of questions to answer. And one of our friends, Kelly Thompson, asked a beautiful series of questions, and we certainly will extract from her comment there. If you have a question for this individual, and I'm not going to introduce him yet, but if you have a question for this individual, I want you to send it to story.mosaics1. That's the numeral one, story.mosaics1@gmail.com, so that we can answer some of your questions when we go on the air. Certainly, we'll hear one of his stories, his life-changing stories, and that'll be exciting. We also have something coming up on the 27th of May. It's a unique opportunity that we've been approached with. And this is happening more and more often. A screenwriter by the name of David Alford, who wrote a beautiful script and directed and produced Searching for the Elephant. He and his star in the film are going to be with us in that time just to sit down. And first, he's going to tell us a little bit of his story. And then we're going to take a moment to listen to and you ask your questions about what it's like to maybe produce a film. How do you write scripts? How do you get into the industry? He's willing to answer any question you might have. And again, the way to get in touch with us is story.mosaics1@gmail.com. And don't forget, when you're out there and whenever you're listening, like and follow and subscribe to Story Mosaics. It means a lot. It changes things. And in fact, it gives us opportunities like this when we have a great front door opening before us to greater interviews and worldwide impact. And so please join us and like, follow, and subscribe to Story Mosaics. We appreciate that so very, very much on whatever platform you listen, whether it's a podcast platform or whether it's YouTube, all of those help us in establishing our footprint out there. Well, today I wanted to tell you a story just kind of torn from the pages of my life. It's not a fancy story. It's just one of those stories that, well, it's a story that really impacted me and actually changed the course of some events. The title of today's story is Chains. Now, I know once before I told you that I was a runner. Remember back when I was talking about my hippo story and I was running from a hippo? And some of you wrote me right away who know me a little bit more intimately than what others know me and said, dude, never suspected you'd be a runner. And I told you I'm more of a plodder than a runner, and I'll admit to that. But the point is, I was really regular, meticulous, religious, if you will, about running. Before my knee surgery, it was a lot easier, but I made a habit of having a path. And that's one of the things I will tell you about runners, is runners always have paths that they run on a regular basis. And the reason for that is so that they can calculate exactly how many miles they've run, because we know our paths and we know our treks that we make. And well, you can bet on that we follow and know our mileage. But along with the mileage, there's something else that we know and we keep track of religiously, and that is dogs, especially dogs that may be loose dogs. I mean, the kind that are tied up, yeah, they make a lot of noise, but they're not that intimidating. But the loose dog, well, he is the Achilles of our Achilles. He is the one that is going to nip at our heels and make it miserable to run. And so we try to avoid those places as much as possible, but there's times along the way that we still have an encounter with the loose dog. But on my pathway, a mile and a half after you turned right out of the addition, a mile and a half on the right-hand side, there was a dog, but I didn't have a whole lot of worry about him. Had he been loose, he would have been the nemesis of my nimbleness. I tell you, he would be the humbler of my Hermes. Yeah, that's right. I'm using every bit of my Greek tragedy to paint the picture here. But seriously, this dog was no ordinary dog. He was a Goliath of a dog, a huge Rottweiler. He was chained with a log chain that went from his choker collar all the way back to a tree that had a stake pegged into the bottom and set in a layer of concrete to hold him there. Not just any log chain, but I mean a massive log chain. So I don't know how he knew it, but whenever I was on my way, he would start his incessant barking, protesting the very presence that I had. And he would start barking and barking, that kind of bark that rattles window frames. But the saving grace, as I mentioned, was that he was clicked to the log chain onto his choker collar. I had no worries. That was until this day in September. It was a crisp, cool morning, and I had set out on my run. I always loved running in the morning, especially in the fall, just to capture the sun rays just peeking through the trees. And this was no exception. And as I took my right-hand turn out of my addition, and then I started my pathway 1.5 miles down to his house, I anticipated that that half mile from his presence, he would start barking, and sure enough, he did. See, on this occasion, something was different. I saw that about 2 feet from him was this heveled mess of a chain, the clasp laying just placidly away from him. And the fact was, he was loose. Now, I will tell you that all the other times he had learned his boundaries so well, and they run that rut all day long, up and down, up and down. Well, he had learned his boundaries, and all the other times he would come up to that edge of that boundary and rear on his hind legs and then fall to the ground. But on this occasion, that unnerving moment when I saw that he was not chained, I knew that I was undone. My nemesis was loose, and in fact, he wasn't just loose, he was ready for full attack mode. He ran to the very edge of his boundary there, reared up on his hind legs, came down on stiff legs, and began to bark like I've never heard him bark before. I knew my eternity was at stake in this moment. And I began to run. I mean, truly run, not like I did even with the hippo. I was running fast. My adrenaline was flowing, and my plotter's life was over. I was ready to take it on, this moment of my salvation, if I could just get away from him. My hair on the back of my neck was standing up, as was his, as he bristled and got ready. And he ran right up to that edge, right up to where the grass would begin. And then he halted. Halted in that rut. He circled in that gully, rearing up, barking and barking and barking. But he knew his boundary. As ferocious as he sounded, that chain that had clasped him for so many years still held him tight. Only his imagination, his fears, and an invisible chain held him. But it was sufficient enough to save me. I slowed my stride a little bit as I passed his house and headed towards the curve in the road that would take me on a right turn. My heart was still pounding, and the adrenaline had awakened every part of my mind. And I began to think, what a poor creature. How silly, even stupid I thought he was. I mean, did he not realize he was free? Did he really need to follow the chain's limitations? Did he really need to ritually go in the rut of his life? He was free because he had never tested it, because he never pushed that boundary. It was too much pain, too much hurt. I went down to the corner, turned, and I was still laughing inside when all of a sudden, and I didn't understand the exchange that took place in that moment, but I went from laughing to this sobbing, and I hadn't even calculated where it was coming from. And all of a sudden, my pounding heart was replaced with tears that were mingled with the sweat. I was surprised by the emotion that that scene evoked within me. What was it? I came a short distance down that road and I stopped. All of a sudden, I realized I saw in his chain and his rut my own limitations, my own chains, my own rut that I would not challenge, that I would not push through, that I would not go beyond, because I had learned all along the pain that was there, You see, I had heard the click of the clasp on the chain that encircled my neck many years earlier. Some failures on my part and some failures that of those who surrounded me. All of a sudden, they left an indelible imprint upon my heart and mind. My chains and my ruts punctuated my life. They spoke of endings. They spoke of pain. They spoke of sorrow. Maybe for you it was a parent's voice of denunciation. Maybe for you it was the hurtful words of callousness of a critic that was in your life. Or maybe it was a moral failure or a broken marriage or a prodigal child. A chain without mercy clamors our failures and our shortcomings. And all I knew was that my chain would not be challenged. Its rut would remain my rut. And that worn path would be my worn path. Those chains are just so restricting. In the book of Acts, in the scriptures, I read about another guy who wore a chain, a big chain, not one because he was going through a midlife crisis, although perhaps he was. He was 40 years old, and maybe he was at that point when he had to evaluate some of his past and some of his future. No, this 40-year-old had put on a chain several years back, and he had worn it now for nearly half of his life. All the while not knowing something, that he was free, that the clasp had come undone, that the choker just hung limp on his neck, and the chain was just a disheveled mess on the pathway. This guy's name was Moses. You've met him probably in the scripture. And the reason why I went to Acts is because it was in my Bible study for that day. And I looked at that moment and I realized this was the man who had had everything at his fingertips. He could smell the aroma of royalty in his life. But an incident took place. When Moses was 40 years old, he decided to visit his fellow Israelites. And this is what the scriptures say. He saw one of them being mistreated by an Egyptian. He went to this man's defense and avenged him by killing the Egyptian. Moses thought that his own people would realize that God was using him to rescue them, but they didn't. The man who was mistreating the other pushed Moses aside and said, "Who made you ruler and judge over us? Do you want to kill me as you killed the Egyptian yesterday?" Moses heard this, he fled to Midian, where he settled as a foreigner and had two sons. Did you hear it? Did you hear the click of the clasp? An event in his life settled him into these invisible chains that would hold him in a rut that was at the edge of the desert and never let him fulfill the very design and purpose that God had outlined for him. All because he thought that they would understand, but they didn't. And that was what constrained him. That was what made him a victim of those invisible chains. And so for 40 years, Moses walked the edge of that Midian desert, forever casting his eyes towards Egypt for the people, for his calling. Then he'd think he could feel the chain tugging him back. How deep was the rut that his sandals wore in the edge of that desert? Could he smell the fragrances of the palace that he grew up? Could he hear the cries of the slaves under the burden of Egyptian torment? Did he ever reach his foot out and just touch the sands of freedom beyond the edge of the desert? So, and I think he stayed comfortably in the ruts, within the boundaries, within that place where there was no pain. But this is what the scriptures go on to say. After 40 years had passed, an angel appeared to Moses in the flames of a burning bush in the desert near Mount Sinai. And then the Lord said to him, "Take off your sandals. The place you are in, the place where you are standing, is holy ground. I have heard the groanings of my people, and now I am sending you back. I am sending you back to Egypt." I can hear the chain fall to the ground. Can you? I can imagine Moses rubbing his neck where the collar had been. I can imagine that this New Testament verse that says, "When the Son has set you free, you are free indeed," could have been a verse that he heard on that day. Don't cheer too soon. It's not easy being free. I just need you to come to terms with the rut that you've been running in for so long. I need you to come to terms with your own chains. Maybe you're running so fast in the frenzy of your days that you've not even had a chance to calculate how you are a victim and how you are held by the chains and the bondage of your past. God is coming to you in this moment saying, "I am setting you free. There are no longer any chains." But I told you, freedom doesn't come easy. And chains, well, even when they're gone, it's not so easy stepping outside that boundary and that rut. In Exodus, it says this, "But Moses said to God, 'Who am I that I should go, that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?'" Moses wanted to argue with the bondage breaker. I love that about God. He is our bondage breaker. I read a whole book on this very topic one time just to help me recognize my freedom that I had wasted so much time on. Moses had wasted 40 years in the desert with a calling and a pawing at the edge of freedom, only to say these words to God. "You see, God, I'm not a good speaker." God said, "I am. I'm not good with crowds. I am. I'm not very convincing. I am. I'm no miracle worker, God. I am. I'm not able. I am." God said to Moses, "I am who I am. I am sending you." I gotta pause just for a moment. And though it may sound a bit dramatic, I need you to sense that God is speaking directly to you today in this moment, because your bondage is being broken by the great I am. For the first time in 40 years, after going back and sharing this word with his father-in-law, with his wife and his children, Moses set his feet on liberty. The bondage was broken and he was free. Do you have any idea how close you are to that right now? Do you have any idea what it would be like for your bondage to be broken? Listen to these words. If anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, everything has become new, completely new. It's not as if God is just winking at you and said, we'll fool them, won't we? No. God, in his bondage breaking, says it's completely new because I have taken up residence in you. That's what all of Ephesians, that's what Galatians says to us as Paul writes to us and lets us know that God has taken up residence within us. And when he takes up residence within us, we share the new DNA. Oh, don't get me wrong. In any way, we are not God, but we are like him because he's remaking us. He is redesigning us. He is giving us a new creation that's inside of us. Look down. Look down. Look down at your feet. Look down at the chain. Look down at the clasp and recognize that they have all been broken. You are free. You didn't even know it. Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, I'm free at last. I would have never, ever said it to my Rottweiler friend Goliath. You're free. Hey, thank you for joining us on Story Mosaics today. And I hope you'll like, follow, and subscribe to be a part of the Story Mosaic's greater family that exercises its freedom in this life. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.